Lord, we're grateful for an opportunity to talk about the greatest subject in the world, loving each other. That's really why you came. It's still the heartbeat of our Christian faith, and it's still something we need to learn a lot more about. And I pray you'll give us one more step in that direction now in these few moments, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Have you ever thought of the importance that we attach to labels? We're going to think about that for a few moments today. People will pay extra for a Polo logo on clothing. A gift labeled Nordstrom might be opened with a little more enthusiasm than one from Target. An Atherton address tends to say something about a person's economic status, and we could go on and on with labels. The interesting thing, we don't only label things, we label people. Yuppie, baby boomer, blue collar, minority, single, divorced, retired, loser, winner, sexist, racist, conservative, liberal. And we're doing an especially good job of labeling in this election year. And labels can be destructive when we place them on people and then stereotype a value that we associate with that label and therefore stereotype a person. Today I want to talk about our call as Christians to do something very simple, to love each other rather than label each other, to find things that draw us together rather than focus on what separates us. And perhaps a good place to begin is, I wonder, what have your thoughts been since you arrived in church today? I wonder if any of you have been looking around and wondered why that person bothers to sing a hymn because they don't have a voice that necessarily agrees with your ear. Maybe criticizing somebody's clothes, maybe criticizing somebody's perfume. You know, we can be pretty good labelers even before the worship service starts. And that's not a good idea. When I read about love among early Christians, I covet their closeness for us. Listen to one description in the book of Acts. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions were his own. There were no needy persons among them. Much grace was upon them all. Can you imagine the impact when that kind of love takes over a group of people? No wonder they turned the world upside down. They didn't even think their possessions were their own. They were so busy loving that they shared. What a way to live. And you know, nothing's changed. God has still given us that call in our kind of world to be Christians who love in that same way. You see, in the midst of the harsh realities of mistrust and betrayal and selfishness and greed that is in the world we touch every day, we Christians are called to be different. And that mandate will never change. Through Jesus, we have been given the power to be encouragers, optimists, affirmers, dispensers of kindness, and lovers of people. The psalmist was right. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when God's people dwell in unity. Well, our text today finds Christians in Corinth not following that mandate. They're divided into factions, and they made the mistake of labeling instead of loving each other, and Paul writes to help them. So let's study what happened, and I hope we can learn from their mistakes and take another giant step in our journey toward becoming lovers after the name of Jesus Christ. A first and all-important step in learning to be a lover rather than a labeler is to make this decision. And until we make this decision, brothers and sisters, I don't think we'll move very much from where we are in terms of our relationships with people. And here's the decision. Relationships are always going to mean more to me than satisfying my own agendas. Relationships are always going to mean more to me than satisfying my own agendas implied of my wants and needs and preferences. Our text in verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there be no divisions among you, and that you might be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now, listen carefully. To agree does not mean we're rubber stamps of each other. To agree with each other is a call to work at getting along with people who are very different from us. And that's a task that requires sacrifice and negotiation and patience and forgiveness. Factions happen only when we get so caught up in our own wants and needs and agendas that we forget the wants and needs of our neighbor, a neighbor who may not agree with us. As I mentioned, an election year is presenting particular danger to our nation and to Christians in particular as candidates seek to divide us into groups. Democrat against Republican, pro-life against pro-choice, rich against poor, black against white, women against men, single against married, and we could probably come up with 10 other categories. Labeling pulls people apart. It's not an ingredient of love, and the one place it cannot happen is in the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, this same struggle is not only in society, it's in our personal lives with family and friends and business associates. You know, I talk to many of you who respond to my urging, take people out for breakfast or lunch, get into a covenant group, and it seems that people have a general desire in our church to have friends. But we talk a little deeper about close friends. And it seems that some people are so critical of others and giving everybody in the church a label who doesn't measure up to their standards, who are so prone to put their own needs and preferences ahead of others, that very soon nobody qualifies to be your friend. And so they finally make the decision to be alone than to compromise their standards and their preferences. My wife and I are blessed with friends that we enjoy. But in order to be close to people, you know, you have to love them enough to discover their needs and their desires, what restaurants and movies and conversations these friends enjoy. And then you have to concentrate on the bonds that hold you together and not focus on the differences that hold you apart. Because when you become friends, you get to know people pretty well. And if you can't stand their downside, and if you put labels on it, pretty soon you're going to drift apart. And that's going to happen between friends, and it's going to happen in a church. Do you realize the reason every one of us are here is that we need a Savior? And if you stay long enough, you're going to discover why Jesus died for that person next to you in the pew. It only takes a while to discover our downside. And is your reaction at that point going to be to label them and reject them or to love them? The Corinthian church became divided because they fell into the trap of playing favorites with their pastors. Factions form, says the text. One group's label read, "We're loyal to Paul." A second group said, "Well, we're loyal to Apollos." And then the third elitist group said, "Well, we're loyal to Jesus Christ." And Paul asked them, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" The original word for divisions is an interesting word. It refers to the rending or the tearing of a fishnet. And what Paul's saying is, do you realize that our church family is connected to each other like the links of a fishnet? And when we break those relationships with labels and criticisms and gossip, we create a hole in the net, and people leave church like fish escaping through a broken net. I suggest that love, friendship, love brings people to church. Most of you came because somebody brought you. And most of you would leave if that love stopped. It's love that brings you, and it's love that holds you. And that's why we can't afford holes in our net. Did you know that a leading reason why people stop attending church is they can't handle Christians who publicly talk about loving each other and they still chew up their families, co-workers, and friends with criticism and gossip? Nothing is wrong with diversity. Diversity is beautiful. Opposing points of view are healthy in a church. When our text calls us to agree and be united in thought, it's asking us to allow the love of Jesus to do a supernatural work in us that doesn't happen in society. This text is asking us to give our neighbor the right to disagree with us and still call him or her brother or sister. To be free from feeling we always have to be right. And our theological view and our political view always has to be right, and we're most comfortable in the pew with people who agree with us. And ultimately, if we allow Jesus Christ to soften our hearts, he does the supernatural work of helping us stop seeking to recreate others into our own image, which is a basic human sin we pull on our children and our neighbor and everybody close to us. And then we attack with labels those who resist our manipulation. Labelers focus on what is different in a relationship. Lovers focus on what's right in a relationship. One of our church women told of research that touched my heart. Recent research indicating what goes on in the conversations at home. Did you know that we tend to give at home 10 negatives for every positive input to each other? This is to our children, our wives and husbands, the people we care about most. 10 negatives for every positive. And did you know it takes 4 positives to offset 1 negative? You know, I believe it. I can hear 200 positive responses to a worship service. And if I get 1 negative after the 11 o'clock service, when I've had a wonderful morning, I'll feel lousy the rest of the day. That's my problem. But negativism is powerful. Loving rather than labeling people who are different from us. What a simple message. It was Jesus who started it. It turned the world upside down. And if ever our country needed that message now, it needs it today. Loving rather than labeling is a primary task of being a Christian. After you talk about all the theology and all the ramifications we get so uptight about, it boils down to loving as Jesus loved. In John 17, listen to our Lord's immortal prayer that we ought to read more often. In fact, you know, if we were going to put another verse over our door in addition to the one we have, I think this would be a good one. Father, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Our relationships are so important that the world will only know God sent Jesus into the world through the quality of love that we give to each other. And what's that love? It begins the day we say relationships are going to mean more to me than my own wants and needs. And this truth leads us to a second step in our becoming lovers rather than labelers. In our increasingly diverse culture, I believe God is calling us, this church, to love people of all opinions and races and cultures rather than label them. Nothing will be more attractive to visitors this Palm Sunday or Easter, which I hope you'll bring and fill up 6:30 and 8 o'clock. Nothing will be more attractive to these visitors than to experience a group of diverse people loving each other. The orchestra will be wonderful, but it won't really turn them on. All the things we do for Easter will be beautiful, but the thing that will impact them, says Jesus, is our unified love. Last week at Fuller Seminary, I acquired some recent statistics about the ethnic mix in Los Angeles. I find them stunning. 41% of the people in Los Angeles are Anglo, 38% are Latino, 11% Afro-American, and 11% Asian. Whites are in a minority. Diversity is inevitable. Fuller Seminary is asking, how do people from differing cultures live together in one society or on one campus, or I ask, in one church? This question is as current as the miracle in South Africa last week, where by voting instead of warfare, different people decided to live as one. And I think that will be one of the great happenings of this century. And it's as current as the bloodshed on Oakland streets. We Christians have the supernatural power to overcome the differences that are ripping our nation apart. And I think we need to talk about it once in a while, and above all, live it once in a while. Do you realize the greatest revolution of the early church, if you could even imagine it, maybe get a piece of it in the Mideast today, was when a Gentile and a Jew could come under one roof and embrace each other as brother and sister. No two groups of people have ever been further apart in history. And Jesus brought them together. And Jesus still has the power to bring diverse people together today. A Fuller student from Brazil gave his answer to how Christians can live as one. He said in Brazil, there are no black Brazilians or Asian Brazilians. There are only Brazilians. And he pleaded with students not to create a black or an Asian or an Anglo Fuller, but to affirm what unites all of us, namely our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said this, he said, to value more our unity in Jesus than we value our own cultural and ethnic backgrounds. That happened in the New Testament, and it has to happen today. And he quoted Paul the Apostle, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. My dream for our church is that we will be a place where people from all walks of life, all ages, all cultures, all colors, and all moral conditions feel comfortable with each other and find a place of love, acceptance, and sensitivity to their needs. This cannot simply be a church that always reflects white Anglo culture. We're a church that reflects Jesus Christ. When we Christians are called to love, we give witness to this truth. Jesus enables diverse people to live together as one family. And this is the miracle of the Christian faith. And if we don't have that miracle, we don't have Christianity. Let's never allow Menlo Presbyterian to become divided into factions labeled by racial, generational, economic, cultural, or professional categories. We are one in Jesus Christ. Well, this is a powerful text we start with as we go into 1 Corinthians. We've given you two truths to chew on. Relationships are more important than fulfilling our personal wants and needs. And if we're Christians, we've got to face the fact we're living in an increasingly diverse culture, and people don't have to be like us to be one with us. Jesus calls us to love rather than label. Before you go home, I'm going to give you just a few possible action items to consider, at least to talk about over coffee and maybe even to do. Next week, spend more time affirming and loving rather than labeling. Watch your words. If you want to do something that really hurts, start taking an inventory of your conversations at home. I did, and I found more negativism than I even wanted to admit. Ask the Lord to weed out labels in your home, in your friendships, and particularly here at church. And then right now, as you leave, reach out to someone you don't know. Some may have come to church alone today. Make this an opportunity to let everyone who attended here this morning feel loved and welcomed in our midst. That's more important than this sermon. And then, if you really want to get brave, you might consider how you might join some of these people who are venturing out to hands-on mission experiences right on our doorstep, but beyond the oasis of our own comfort and wealth. I felt these words, they really touched me. I've never been down to that housing section that she was in San Jose. And it's easy to stereotype those people till you see little children who don't know about our stereotypes, and they just have smiles and sweet faces. And they are a lot further along on the road to love than we are. Loving rather than labeling pleases God. And it'll make this church, this Easter, a beacon of hope pointing to that day when Jesus, the resurrected Christ, so touches believers of all races, cultures, and opinions that we can live in this place as one family. And that might give credence to the fact that the kingdom of God is coming. Because if we can't live together now, how are we going to make it in eternity? Because all believers of all races and creeds and opinions are going to be there. And I'd like to do it in advance. I'd like to do it now with the help of the Holy Spirit. And to His name be the glory. Amen.